You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the complex world of enterprise identity, securing legacy web apps at scale can be daunting. Strata Identity makes it simple. With Strata, you can effortlessly integrate non-standard apps with any identity service, like MFA or SSO, with zero coding and zero hassle. Designed by identity architects for identity architects, Strata works with every vendor, standard, and app architecture. This means your apps can now speak modern protocols and integrate seamlessly with your chosen identity services. From securing on-prem web apps to migrating away from outdated identity providers or consolidating them, Strata helps you keep your complex access policies as you modernize your identity infrastructure and get rid of technical debt. Join leading organizations like 3M, Dallas County, and CIBC in securing your apps with Strata. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your identity security priorities, and receive a complimentary pair of AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Connect today at strata.io/cyberwire.
Russian hackers appear to have turned their attention to German political targets as well as politicians in the U.S. New strains of ransomware are out. Mamba is as dangerous to networks as its namesake is to human tissue. The Air Force Association is taking up cyber in its annual meetings. And North Korea parched the curtain in front of its domains. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Wednesday, September 21st, 2016. Election hacking may not be confined to United States targets. German news outlets are reporting that a number of senior politicians and their staffs have come under cyber attack, apparently by Russian actors. There's no name assigned to this particular bear yet, but doubtless one is coming. The Bundestag sustained compromises last year. The current round of intrusions extends to political party organizations in the country's Länder, that is, down to what Americans would call the state level. It appears the attacker's initial approach was through a long series of phishing emails purporting to originate in NATO. The timing of the attack suggests an interest in elections, and German newspapers are significantly juxtaposing the story with coverage of election-related hacking in the U.S. The vulnerability Cisco found in the course of its investigation of the Shadow Broker exploits is said to be actively used by attackers in the wild. Patches and mitigations are expected soon. More ransomware enters circulation, some of it unsophisticated. Detox Crypto is distributed in a poorly crafted imitation of Malwarebytes communication. Other strains are being carried by bogus FedEx failed delivery notices. But some of it is sophisticated indeed and dangerous. Mamba, also known as HDD Cryptor, is unusually dangerous. Mamba locks hard drives, encrypts files in mounted drives and network shares, and overwrites master boot records. We've been spending some time down at the Air Force Association's annual Airspace and Cyber Conference, just south of the District of Columbia. While the conference was, as one attendee put it, heavy industry heavy, this year's version featured a conscious effort to devote significant attention to cyber. You'll find accounts of the conference at thecyberwire.com, but we were struck by the Air Force Operations Chief's emphasis on working out effective command and control mechanisms for cyber operations, and by the Service IT Chief's commitment to looking for commercial solutions to Air Force challenges. and the chief of personnel faces the same tight labor market the cyber industry does, with the added challenge posed by a complex workforce and some cultural obstacles to what she called the agility necessary to recruit, develop, and retain cyber talent. Two initiatives stood out to us. Everyone had very good things to say about Cyber Patriot, the Air Force Association-led, Northrop Grumman-supported youth cyber education program. And the Military Cyber Professional Association was also present on the floor, a young group organized to support and foster the growth of the profession. Both of these will bear watching. Matthew Green is an assistant professor at the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute, and he's well known in the industry for his work in cryptography and other security technology. He's one of the keynote speakers at the AppSec USA 2016 conference coming up in October in Washington, D.C. We checked in with Matthew Green for a preview of his presentation.
So there's been a pretty big debate going on right now about making encryption a little bit more tractable for law enforcement. So I've spent a lot of my time in the last year, maybe year and a half, fighting with a lot of people about this because, you know, the proposals that are being put out right now for making encryption easier for folks to decrypt also have this kind of side effect that they make encryption a lot worse. And if you've been paying any attention the last however many years, you know that things aren't going very well for us. And by us, I mean everybody who uses computers and relies on them being secure. So encryption is one of the best tools we have for fixing that problem. If we start by weakening it or doing something to limit it, we're really starting out on the wrong foot. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about how we've done that wrong in the past and what we could do wrong in the future.
So let's dig into that a little bit. I mean, there's been this notion, certainly, you know, we saw in the last year, the incident with Apple and the FBI, this notion of, is it possible to have a backdoor that is both a backdoor and secure? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, the way you just put it, I think, is a pretty good illustration of why it's so difficult. So you want to let people in, but only the right people. However, the right people are going to be, you know, a lot of right people. So you have a lot of different people in law enforcement, courts, all over the place, not very technically savvy people. All of those people have to be able to get into your encryption. And by your encryption, I mean everybody's encryption. It's not just going to be Apple and Google. It's going to be small, you know, companies developing apps, you know, and everybody who does anything with encryption in the long run. So you want to let all of those people get into your encryption. You want to keep all of the very sophisticated, sometimes nation state funded attackers out. And I have a very hard time seeing how we're going to do that, because the difference between somebody like Guccifer, you know, where we have somebody who's extraordinarily sophisticated and pretty good at getting into things, and at the same time, you know, that's the person we want to keep out, but at the same time, we want to keep let in folks who are very technically unsavvy, who are writing pieces of paper and saying, you know, here's a court order, let somebody into this encryption. I see a very, I think it's going to be very hard to make that kind of system work. And at a technical level, in the process of trying to make it work, I think we're going to screw it up in all kinds of new and exciting ways we haven't even thought of yet.
So where do you see this headed? Is there some meeting in the middle where both sides can get closer to what they want?
Right now, I think we already are meeting in the middle to some extent. So you probably saw the headlines in the last day or two about the FBI gaining, you know, really powerful hacking powers. They are now legally allowed or about to be allowed to essentially hack anything they want, and that includes end devices. The FBI is developing this capability, and they're getting pretty good at it. And they, you know, clearly they got into this San Bernardino iPhone last year, and they didn't do it through a backdoor. They did it by hacking. So I think we're already heading towards some kind of meet in the middle where this is how device access is handled, is the FBI just learns to hack. That doesn't mean they see this as a compromise. They want backdoors too.
The good guys say, the people who are calling themselves good guys, they say, well, you know, as long as we have judicial oversight, what's the problem here? What's the worry?
Yeah, what I'm going to talk about in my presentation is kind of the history of how, you know, good ideas, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, and how apparently good ideas can turn into bad ideas, and those bad ideas can hurt us even, you know, a decade plus after the initial idea is over. And so really, you know, I want to give a little bit of a history lesson talking about previous attempts to limit and weaken encryption and how they didn't really go very well. So, you know, for example, back in the 90s, there were laws that said if you want to download a browser, you had to either download the strong U.S. one and prove, you know, assert you were from the U.S., or if you were from another country, you had to download the weak one. And that stuff, you know, these export grade crypto systems, as recently as 2014, 2015, there were bugs in SSL and TLS that were still exploitable because those leftover systems were still in the standard. And so it's kind of an illustration of how even well-meaning ideas can lead to all sorts of unintended consequences, and they just linger.
That's Matthew Green from the Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. He'll be keynoting at the upcoming AppSec USA 2016 conference in October in Washington, D.C. It's gratifying to see responsible disclosure of an Internet of Things vulnerability on the part of researchers, and equally gratifying to see receptivity and responsiveness on the part of the vendor whose product is affected. We mean, of course, the demonstration by a group of Chinese researchers of vulnerabilities in Tesla cars. They were able to open sunroofs, turn blinkers on, and, most disturbingly, apply the brakes while the car was in motion. They disclosed the issues to Tesla, which has patched them, and thanked the researchers. The researchers coordinated their announcement with Tesla's fix. We heard at the Billington Automotive Cybersecurity Summit in July that the auto industry was determined to invite and encourage and act on responsible disclosure. The Tesla fix looks like a good omen. And finally, we hear a great deal about North Korean activity in cyberspace, from the country's alleged role in the Sony hack to perennial expressions of concern from Seoul that Pyongyang has its fingers in as many South Korean networks as possible. But we hear much less about what the Internet might actually look like inside North Korea itself. If you were betting that the North Korean web wasn't exactly that familiar mashup of Woodstock, Burning Man, the Wild West, BronyCon, and Mos Eisley that most of the rest of us have grown accustomed to, you'd be right. Late Monday, an IT error in the Hermit Kingdom inadvertently, we think, allowed domain administrators to request a list of the DPRK's top-level domains. An alert watcher did just that and posted the results to Reddit. There are, it turns out, a total of 28.pk domains. Not 28,000, just 28. And TechCrunch thinks the sites on those top-level domains are likely to be busy because, as TechCrunch says, that's what being on Reddit will do for you.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI.
Joining me is Jonathan Katz. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Maryland and director of the Maryland Cybersecurity Center. Jonathan, we saw a story come by recently that Google is turning on HSTS encryption on its domain. Give us some background here. What are we talking about with HSTS encryption?
Well, as you know, when you're connecting to a sensitive website, like a banking website or your email or things like that, you generally want to do that over a secure connection over HTTPS. And what this new mechanism does is actually it's something that the website will provide, which will tell the user's browser to only allow secure connections to the site. And this would basically have the effect of preventing the user from mistakenly opening up an insecure connection with that website.
So is this basically protecting the user from themselves so they don't, you know, inadvertently pass along insecure data?
Yeah, exactly. So what a user might do, for example, is go to, you know, if they're connecting to Gmail, they might go to their web browser and type in http://mail.google.com. And if they did that in general, then that would open up an insecure connection. And to open up a secure connection, they would have to know to type in https://mail.google.com. And what this HSTS does for you, actually, is that if the user ever connect securely to the Gmail backend server, then from that point on, the browser will ensure that the user only ever opens up a secure connection. So even if the user mistakenly types in HTTP and forgets the S, the browser will know to automatically initiate a secure connection anyway. And in fact, it won't even allow the user to initiate an insecure connection.
So we're really heading towards this time of when all connections really should be secure.
Yeah, that's right. So you know, Google has moved toward that in general, and they've been they've made available secure connections to all of their services. And what this does is add an extra layer of protection to protect either against user mistakes, like I was talking about earlier, or also phishing attempts. Right? If an attacker sends a user an email with an embedded link to Google.com, which is a link with an HTTP rather than HTTPS, then this mechanism will still protect the user in that case, and again, will only allow the user to open up a secure connection.
All right, Jonathan Katz, thanks for joining us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire.